I'm preaching on y'all's favorite subject, tithes and offerings, and I am doing that because y'all asked me to. So we're going to continue with this series on tithes and offerings, and again, we're turning to the book of Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I. That is the last book in the Old Testament. Open up your, if you don't know where to find it, look in the table of contents, look in the Old Testament section, go to the last book, Malachi, go to that page number, and once you're there, go to the third chapter of that, of Malachi. In the meantime, while you're turning, I want to recap the previous sermons. The first one was on a great robbery. And some of us said we ain't never stole a thing in our lives. Well, how are you robbing God? If you aren't contributing what you should to St. John, that is how you are stealing from God. Some of us remember we went through the whole math about how much we should be given based on income and based on our abilities. And we went through all of that. You can find those sermons again at sjbcla.org/sermons, and you will find that sermon there. So I tried to end by saying, don't rob God by robbing St. John. And then I tried to re-emphasize that members can't be moochers. Then we went on again to a great curse. That was the title of last week's sermon. And the question was, if you, being a member, refuse to give to St. John, how does God punish you? And the straight up answer was, you lose money. Again, y'all asked me to preach this. That's on y'all now. So I tried to end by saying, don't mess with God's money. And I said, if you do, play around and find out. And so today is the third installment of the Tithes and Offerings series. And we'll be coming again from the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the 10th verse. Now, I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard Bible version. Again, in the interest of time, I'm just going to go ahead and read this. If you have different versions of the Bible, this is going to read, the second part of this is going to read a little different. But don't worry, we are going to address that. It all means the same thing. Book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, out of the Christian Standard Bible, reads as follows. It says, bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. And the title of this sermon, and one I know that y'all gonna be excited about, is A Great Blessing. Amen.
Amen.
A great blessing. There was a song that came out in 2020, and one of the most memorable lyrics of that song was this: try Jesus, but don't try me. Some of us heard this song before. Matter of fact, it's a big thing. They even made shirts out of it. Try Jesus, please don't try me, because I throw hands. And if you don't know what that means I can fight. You know, people saying, you know, try Jesus, but don't come at me, because it's going to be a problem. Now, The more I thought about this, I said, do you really want to try Jesus? Because if I'm reading Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 14th through 16th verse, it says, do not follow other gods. This is the Lord talking. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth. Verse 16, do not test the Lord your God as you tested Amasa. Once again, are you sure you want to try Jesus? Huh? But we know that we're not supposed to be testing God. We know we're not supposed to be playing around with his grace. We're not supposed to be doing that. So I was real confused the very first time I ever read this when God said, test me in this. God was saying that if you just bring the offering, if you just bring the full offering, he's going to bless you, as some versions say, that you won't even have enough room to receive all the blessing. And then the question is, that we're going to be talking about is, why does God bless us so much when we give? We're going to explore that. Why does he do it? We already see that he does it. We already see that there is a reward in bringing God the offering, that he rewards you for that. But it seems like he blesses us a lot. Why does he do that? Again, just for the recap on Malachi 3:10, the nation of Israel was not bringing their tithe to the storehouse. They were not bringing the offerings and the tithes that God had commanded them to bring. And so because of that, they were under a curse. God started affecting their income. Some of y'all might remember the point I brought up. When you mess with God's income, God messes with your income. And that's what happened. They were failing. They were losing crops. Things were not working out for them. But here is God himself saying how you can test him, how you can try him. He says, if you bring the tithe, the full tenth, into the storehouse, if you do that, what does he say he'll do? See if I will not, what? Open the floodgates of heaven. Some versions say windows of heaven. And pour out a blessing for you without measure. So what that means, if I'm reading this correctly, is that if we give what we're supposed to, then God gives us more than he's quote unquote supposed to. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, generally, if I do what I'm supposed to do for my job, they're paying me what I'm supposed to get paid.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
My job is not going to reward me for doing my job except by just paying me for what my job is. Does that make sense?
Right.
So I would think that God would be the same way, that, you know, we need to bring our offering and he just continues to, you know, kind of keep things, you know, kind of steady. But when we bring the offering to God, he blesses us over and abundantly.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And in fact, there's, versions that talk about the cup overflowing. The cup will run over.
Right.
Now, why is that metaphor important? Because when your cup overflows, others get wet.
Yeah.
People know that when God takes care of you. Somehow, in some way, other people tend to benefit.
Yeah.
Y'all notice that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You notice maybe you were a recipient of that benefit when your mom or dad or grandfather and grandmother made sure that they were given to the church and the Lord took care of them, even to the point of helping you out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was more than what they needed. Some of us are living witness of what I call collateral blessings. When people just get blessed just because they're around you.
Right.
You know, when God just blesses you so much that people who just, even the moochers, tend to get taken care of because God is just pouring so many blessings on you that you don't even have enough room to receive it. So it just kind of just spills out everywhere else.
Right.
It's interesting how God does that. And the way this happens is that we only get it by bringing what? The full offering.
Right.
That means partials don't count. Mm. Huh? What you mean, James? Genesis 4:3-5 talks about Cain. It says, in the course of time, Cain presented, look, some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel also presented an offering, that was his brother, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. You know, Cain just gave some of what he had, and Abel gave the best. And so what happened was that the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, verse 5, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was ticked off. Now, how that worked? Cain gave some of the offering. He gave what he was supposed to do. So if Cain gave some of his portion, shouldn't God give some of the blessing? Y'all thought y'all got over on God, huh? Y'all thought y'all could mathematically figure him out, huh? God had no regard. It was as if Cain didn't even bring an offering. We only get the blessings, the overflowing, all of that. We only do it when we bring the full offering. If you read in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the full tenth. That was part of the reason they were in this mess anyway. Because they were bringing partial of the tenth. And for you mathematicians out there, when you don't bring the full 10%, it's no longer actually a tithe. Somebody in school got that. I'm talking technically speaking. I'm not trying to be deep. Technically speaking, if you don't bring the 100% of the 10%, then it's not the 10%. Do y'all understand what I'm?
Yeah.
Okay. So, long story short, look, don't waste God's time or yours. Just give what you're supposed to give.
Yeah. See it.
And again, if you don't know what to give, we had a whole class on this on the first Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can go look for it at sjbcla.org/sermons, plural. And you will find that sermon there. It's called Tithes and Offering, and it is up there for your viewing pleasure. A great robbery. Don't waste God's time, okay? And I'm telling you, just for yourself, don't even waste your own time. Just give what the Lord told you to give. You know how much that is. You can find out how much that is. You ain't got to compare yourself against others. You know what you can give to St. John. So just do it. Instead of trying to be partial and trying to do the math. And if you do it, we will get that blessing, that over and abundant blessing in our lives. But again, the question is, why would the Lord do this? Why would the Lord give us too much? Why would the Lord over bless us? Why would he do that? Now, I want y'all to follow with me, and we're going to be out of here. I want you to follow me. If you remember why we have the offering in the first place, the purpose of the offering was to take care of those who need it. Are we all on the same page? The purpose of the tithe, the purpose of the offerings then obviously was to honor the Lord. But God doesn't need our money, but his people do. And so that is why the Lord is asking, not because he needs to build a bigger house in heaven, but because there are people here who need to eat. There are people here who need medical attention. There are people here who need help some way, somehow. And there and of course, what we're doing here at St. John does require funds. That is the reason why. So the purpose of the offering is to take care of those who need it, right? So again, why would the Lord give us too much? Let's read again, verse 10. He did it because he wanted there to be food in my house. That was back then. That was the tithe. They actually brought, food. And that's what the people literally ate. Okay. It wasn't dollar bills. It was the food. Okay. It was the produce. But essentially in that day, it was the same thing. Now, stay with me. I know we've been doing a whole lot of math this series, and I know we kind of tired of math. But there is a mathematical issue going on. They're under a curse, right? So they have less produce, right? So now you have a mathematical issue, because if you take 10% of a smaller number, it's going to give you a smaller number, right? So what it is, look, small income, small offering. Now, that's an issue, because how are you going to get all of the food and whatnot? How are you going to take care of these people? Let's talk about today. How are we going to take care of St. John if people are not making enough so that even if they obeyed the word of God and they did tithe, that we still would have problems with our bills and still would have problems meeting people's needs? How would we do that? It's a mathematical issue. How, if you have a small income, you have a small offering. Does that make sense? So how does God fix that? He makes the income bigger. That's it. He makes it bigger. Bigger income, bigger offering. And the reason God wants to do that is because, look, now his people will fully be taken care of. So again, why does God bless us so much, St. John, when we give to St. John? He blesses us over and abundantly because we can increase the offering to take care of his people. Let me say that one more time. Small income, small offering. Big income, big offering. So if God can just trust us to be faithful with the few, if he can just trust us to be faithful with the small offering, and if we could just bring our small offering, then God will somehow, some way, make our income bigger.
Yeah.
So that the offering is
bigger.
Yeah. Are we on the same page?
Uh-huh.
And when the offering is bigger, then people's needs get met. That's it. That's it. That is why God gave you that promotion. That is why God gave you that inheritance. That is why. Because you just got to give a little portion of that so that God's people can be taken care of. Oh, and by the way, if you do bring the full offering, the what you agreed to the Lord, he's going to continue to bless you. Over and abundantly. You're not going to have room. You're going to be paying for everybody else's stuff, and you still got money in the bank. A lot of it.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Because God loves givers.
Yeah.
And God blesses people who give.
Right.
Now, I don't want to straddle you down with a dollar amount. I'm not saying you're going to be millionaires. I'm not saying you're going to be billionaires. Some of us are barely even thousandaires. It doesn't matter. But somehow, you will always have more than enough.
Yeah.
Somehow, God works out the balance sheet. You know, he works out the expenses and the income. He just works it out so that even you making whatever you're making per hour, you still have more than what you need. You can still enjoy your life. You can still go to McDonald's. You can still do these things.
It's all right.
If you bring the full offering.
Right.
And this is what God is saying. Try me in this.
Uh-huh.
God blesses our giving so we can give more.
Right.
And if you really think about it, the curse is actually an opportunity for a blessing. Some of us are saying it's too hard. I can't do it right now. And I understand. But if you talk to the Lord and he reveals ways for you to do it, just do it. Because here is a chance for you to be obedient to the Lord by giving your offering to St. John. Here is a chance for you to bless somebody else. We don't know who we're helping. Maybe that person's not here yet. We don't know, but we're going to be blessing somebody. And it's because you decided to give your $10 if that was what the Lord has for you, or your $50 if that's what the Lord had for you, or your $100. And you think, well, that ain't going to buy a car. That ain't going to buy a house. But you know what? God works on that little bit, and he somehow stretches a dollar, and he makes it work. And then he gives you more opportunities to give. It's an opportunity. It was an opportunity for the Israelites to give. That even though they were under the curse, even though they were punished for not being givers, God gives them an opportunity and says, test me now in this and see what I'll do right now. No, don't wait until things get better. Do it right now.
Right.
No, don't wait until you get that promotion.
Right.
Do it right now.
Right.
See what happens if you do it right now.
Yeah.
And I'm emphasize this because when we think about Jesus Christ, the thing that we celebrate the most is that he died on a cross for our sins.
Yeah.
Did you realize that Jesus died under a curse? Matter of fact, the Bible even says that it took on sin.
Yeah.
So that means he actually took on the curse on his body.
Right.
He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him.
Right.
But because of the cross, because of the curse that Jesus willingly took on, even though he didn't deserve it, even though he did nothing to contribute to it, even though it was not for him, he took on the curse in order to break the curse. Jesus gave his life under the curse to break the curse. And Jesus died. He gave his life. We worried about giving $50. He gave his life. We worried about the vacation we can't take now. He gave his life. We worried about the new Gucci bag we had our eyes on. He gave his life for us so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. But not only did Jesus die on the cross, not only did he pay the penalty for our sins, but he was buried. And on the third day, he rose up from the grave. And why that is significant is because that means that God accepted the sacrifice that Jesus gave. That the life that Jesus gave was for us, and he loved it. So again, if he can give his life, we can give some money. I'm going to let it stay up there. Maybe somebody's writing this down. Hello? If he can give his life,
right.
His life, y'all.
Yeah.
When you're dead, your money don't matter.
Right.
I don't know if that's news to somebody, but when you're dead, your money doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his life.
Yeah.
And if he could do that, we can give some money. We can do that.
Yeah.
We can give something. We can give something. So, as a close, God says never to test him except here.
Uh-huh.
Test him in this. Test him in your giving. And just see. See what happens.
Uh-huh.
If he doesn't do it, tell me. And then, you know, you'll be the first person that it happened to. You'll prove God a liar. You'll be the first person. So do it. No,
yeah.
Try it.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens.
Yeah.
So never test the Lord except here.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way I'd like to say it is try Jesus the right way. Try Jesus the right way.